Welcome to Bible Line, a ministry of Calvary Community Church. Our podcast is dedicated to the clear teaching of God's Word. We aim to help people find Jesus Christ and train believers through the study of the Bible. We would love to feature your questions on the show. You can email us at questions@BibleLineMinistries.org. If you'd like to support the show, you can go to calvaryoftampa.org/donate. Catch new episodes every Thursday. We pray today's episode is a blessing to you.
So today we're going to be answering the question, what now? You've trusted in Christ as your Savior. Okay, what now? There's so many things you can do because of what Christ has given you, which is really a new lease on life. You have this new opportunity. You have all these avenues that you can pursue. You have gifts that are given to you through the Holy Spirit. You have a family now, and there are people in the family that pray for you. But what do we do now? That's a good question. And I think these verses, thank you, these verses in Colossians are extremely eye-opening on what we can do now that we're saved. So take a look in Colossians chapter 1. This is on page 1262. And we'll start there in verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother. If you remember, Timothy was Paul's trainee. He had led Timothy to the Lord, and he was training him to take over his responsibilities. Boy, it's so important for ministries to have a successor. Many ministries often just fade away because there's not someone that is prepared in case of an emergency or in case of someone moving and doing something different. It's not just for ministries, though. It's for families. You and your family, you can be the Paul in your family that trains a young one or a family member to be clear on the Word, to be consistent in their prayer life. All these different things are important because if it dies with you, it probably won't go any further. So we need to be prepared in that way. But Paul is writing here. Notice who he is associated with. He's associated with Jesus Christ. I love this about Paul because you see Paul's heart. Paul, in many ways, was a high-ranking religious official. And as a Pharisee, he studied the law in a way that most Jews could not study it. Many Jews had to hear the law taught to them from a Pharisee. Well, Paul was a Pharisee. He was one-on-one with the law, had memorized large portions of the Scripture. All of that association changed once he was introduced to Jesus Christ. Now, this is not to say that that's an evidence of Paul's salvation. That's not what it is. All it is an evidence of is the fact that Paul was committed to Jesus Christ. Paul was committed to the sharing of the gospel. Look in verse 2. This letter is addressed to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ. This is an interesting phrase. I want to take a moment to just look at it. First of all, we're talking about believers, but then there's a second class of believers here. Faithful brethren. Now that you're saved, you can be a faithful brethren. And this requires discipline. This requires denying the will of the flesh and knowing what the will of the Spirit is. We've recorded episodes before that have talked about how can I know what the will of God is for my life. Friend, you have to know His Word. If you don't know His Word, you're going to stumble about trying to set up your own standards, trying to look at the circumstances and people in your life through your own lens, and you'll never get to good, clear truth. And you may stumble upon the truth, but it won't be without pain and suffering and difficulties. Study God's Word. Know it, memorize it, teach it. Look what it says here. To the saints and faithful brethren, look where their position is. If you're in your Bible, just underline this phrase here and put off to the side the phrase, our position. See where it says, in Christ? This is where you and I now stand. This is where you and I are now positioned. We're in Christ. We're not an American. We're not simply just a husband or a wife or a son or a daughter. We're now placed into the body of Christ, placed for a purpose as 1 Corinthians chapter 12 teaches us. But this is a great opportunity for a fresh start. I remember learning these things and realizing all of the things that I used to do in the past, I don't need to continue to do them, nor do I need to let those mistakes that I've made define me. Let me tell you something interesting that's happened recently. I think it was the 4th of July. After the evening service, we went out to my wife's uncle's property out there in Brooksville, and we were having a good time. We were talking, there's fireworks and all that kind of stuff. On my way home, I'm at home, and all of a sudden, my Facebook Messenger goes off, and I look, and I kid you not, the guy that messaged me was the best man from my wedding. I had not seen him. I have not seen him for 10 years. He is, his name is Haji. He's a practicing Muslim. He's the first person that I ever witnessed to. And it did not go poorly, but I was not ready to have a conversation with him. He messaged me and he sent me a picture of his kid. He's got a little girl. And that's just crazy to me. Haji and I were in band together. I played the trumpet. He played the tuba. And he was very skilled, and we had a lot of fun, you know, playing music and all these different things. But the first thing I thought when I saw that Facebook Messenger for him was, man, I wish I could talk to Haji. I wish I could just, you know, talk to him now, 10 years later, and share with him the things that I've learned. Well, it turns out he's here. He's in Tampa from Tanzania, and he's going to be here until probably the 17th, the end of next week. So we're going to set up some time. And I told my wife the next morning, I was like, you know what I'm going to do, right? She's like, well, you're going to share the gospel with him. I was like, yeah, I'm going to have a conversation with him. But it's just amazing to see how God provides opportunities.
Amen.
How God looks and sees the things that we have chosen to do, and he blesses us for them. But that's all because of our position.
Amen.
Where our position is in Christ. Look, when I was going to witness to Haji that first time in, what was it? It had to be March of 2008 or 2007. I was 16, 17 years old. Not really. I mean, I understood what I believed, but I couldn't really share it with another person. You know, there were a lot of, well, this is what my pastor says, and this is what my church believes, those are horrible excuses. They really are, because it makes the gospel subjective to your pastor or to your church. This is what the Bible says. I believe what the Bible says. Those are good phrases to use. But I wasn't prepared like I am now. And I'm excited for the opportunity. And I know that he's been through 10 years of life. I don't know how the Lord has worked in his life. I don't know what kind of questions he has about his faith as a practicing Islam. I don't know. But the fact that he wants to sit down with me and have a conversation, boy, I know because of my position in Christ that I have something to talk about with him. Of course, there are many things we can discuss, but I know that it can lead to that point. Look what it says here, in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We can have grace and peace in this new life. Many times, the reason why we don't experience grace and peace is because of our own decisions. Bad habits. Listen, I see this happen a lot with young believers. They want community. And so they will go to the internet. They will go to, you know, faraway places. Usually right now, it's all digital. And they'll try and find a chat room, or they'll try and find a sub-thread or a place where they can belong. But what ends up happening is it's just a bunch of people that have decided to talk about what they think, and no one's under any kind of clear teaching. It's so, so important that you recognize there are active means of deception, and you have to be careful that you're not playing into those.
Amen.
The Bible says here that we can have grace and peace. That grace and peace comes from the exercising of God's word. Look what it says here in verse 3. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. So here's a group in Colossae They've been introduced to the gospel. They've made a decision to believe that, okay? And it says here, Paul and those that are with him, they give thanks to God and they pray for those saints. You and I should be the same way. What can we do now that we're saved? Well, you're not going to go win all of Asia for the Lord overnight. You're not going to go and build a fantastic ministry in 3 weeks. What you can do from the moment that you're saved is you can pray for the believers in Christ. But Jesse, I don't know their name. You don't have to know their names. God knows their names. Pray for them. Here are some good habits that you can take into your prayer life. A pen. You take that pen with a piece of paper and you write things down. It's a discipline. How many of you still write things down? Raise your hand. Okay, good number of people. Sorry, I touched the mic there. Good number of people. Not a lot of people, they do this now or they use their thumb. But it's a very good discipline to write down your prayers. Write down the things that you want to bring before the Lord. Write down people's names. Spend time doing that. It will help you remember the people that need to be prayed for. Paul was doing that, and not only was he praying for them always, as it says at the end of verse 3, the beginning of verse 3 says he's giving thanks to God for them. Are you thankful for the person who led you to the Lord? I talked to my uncle after the service. I said, I really am thankful for what you have done for me. Boy, I know that my uncle would have talked to me because I know what he believes, but we were in a ministry. It was the best one around. We didn't know that Calvary existed until later, but we were in a ministry where the gospel was not clear in Sunday school classes. It was clear probably 1 out of 4 Sundays. So if you brought a friend, you had a, 25% chance of them hearing the gospel clearly? And at that, they'd have to come down. They'd have to get out of the aisle and come down. How many of you were raised in a church like that where there was an altar call on a weekly basis? Boy, you really do feel like you're making a life-changing decision because you know, I'm looking at you, Lydia, because you raised your hand, you know when you pop out of that aisle, everyone's eyes are popping onto you. There goes Lydia. She's walking down. Wow. And so it keeps people in their seats. But I'm glad that my uncle shared the gospel with me. Are you glad for the person that has led you to the Lord? Have you let them know that? Have you talked to the Lord about that? Paul was thankful for all that he had received, even in the address to this letter. Verse 4, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus. Let it be known here, the faith was in Christ Jesus. Faith is just the vessel, okay? We're looking to park that vessel in Christ. That's what saves us. And of the love which ye have to all the saints. So these believers here in Colossae, not only were they believers positionally in Christ, but they also actively cared about those around them. Verse 5, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard in the word of the truth of the gospel. Boy, I love that phrase. Let's read that one more time. Whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. We know we're not just talking about any good news here when we see that word gospel. We know we're talking about the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ because, as it says here, that hope which is laid up in heaven. The gospel, that good news, is Jesus Christ and what he did for us. He came down from heaven. We have a treasure laid up there for us. Boy, isn't this a great guarantee? Aren't you glad that there's not a letter that comes in the mail once a year for you to renew your policy in heaven? Boy, if you skip that renewal for your insurance, they'll let you go. Even if you have every intent to keep that insurance, if you don't renew it, valued customer no more. Now you're a sale opportunity. It's kept in heaven, guys. It's an eternal thing. And the point that is being made here is the hope which is laid up for you in heaven is because of the gospel. Without that gospel message, we wouldn't have anything. So what do we do now that we're saved? We continually remind ourselves of that gospel message.
Amen.
And we live thankful for it. Continue here in verse 6. Which, that hope, because of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world. Now this is a great thing to recognize. What now? Okay, I'm saved, right? I've trusted in Jesus Christ as my Savior. What do I do now? You have got to go out into the world. Listen, Jesus has already been lifted up. He has already drawn all men unto him. The way that that is promoted further is through you and me. The gospel is in the world. We're living in an age right now where everything is connected. I think it's still amazing that I don't have my phone on me, but if I wanted to take 2 minutes, I could find a live stream of somewhere else in the world and watch something that's happening. Isn't that interesting when you look at prophecy and you look at how those two witnesses, they will be killed and the whole world will be able to see them. Boy, do we live in a time where that's possible?
Yep.
Yeah, you can watch penguins in Antarctica if you'd like to. We can find a live stream on that. I'm sure that we'll be able to see that. But we live in an age of connectivity. Everyone's connected to somebody. Look at what this says here. As it is in all the world, the gospel message, the purpose of it, not only is to save those that believe on Christ, but then also it's supposed to go out into all the world. Guys, that happens through you and me. Every opportunity that we have, that's a way to get that job done. But look at what it says. And bringeth forth fruit. Now that you're saved, you should be bringing forth fruit. Now, this is a controversial topic, and it shouldn't be, but the devil is alive and well, and he likes to twist scripture. This does not mean that every single believer has to bear fruit to prove that they're saved. This is saying, as the gospel has gone out into the world, it will bring forth fruit. That fruit are all of those who have believed. That's the seed of the gospel has been planted into the soil of the word. And are there believers in the world today? It's a simple question. It's not supposed to be a trick question, but there are. Raise your hand if you've trusted in Jesus Christ. We are the fruit that has been brought forth because of the gospel. So as a believer, even a baby believer, you can start bringing forth fruit. We don't have time, but look in. If you look later tonight in John chapter 4, the woman at the well, immediately she left her water and went into the city and said, "Behold, I show you a man that told me everything that I've ever done." And she was able to bring those men to the words of the Savior. Isn't it funny how the disciples came back and they were saying basically, "What meat are you talking about, Jesus? Like, we don't have any meat. We know that you haven't had anything to eat. What are you talking about?" And he's making a comparison between souls and harvest. The fields are white, all ready to harvest. As a farmer, if your crop, specifically that wheat, is turning white, you are running out of time. You want to pick it when it's golden. You want to harvest it when it's of a good nature, where it looks good. When your crop is starting to whiten, you're running out of time. And Jesus says the fields are white, already to harvest. Guys, there's so many opportunities. Even as a baby believer, you can bring forth fruit. But the gospel has produced fruit. You and I are a living proof of that. Continue in verse 6. As it doth also in you since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God, note this phrase here, please mark it, in truth. Boy, there's a lot of things today that are competing for that title. We have the truth. Listen, the only truth that really matters is the truth of the gospel. Being able to share that, knowing what it is, believing on that is of the utmost importance. Look what it says in verse 7. as ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister in Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. Talk about what God has done for you. Talk to your Sunday school teachers, to your pastors. Let them know about people you've led to Christ or people that you're discipling. This young man, as he got up and talked to Paul and Timothy about this group in Colossae, he declared unto them a truth. He shared good news with them. It's important that you share what God is doing for you in your life. That's the whole point of what we have tonight. We always have an opportunity on Wednesday evenings for people to speak on prayer requests. This is not a rebuke towards you, but just naturally, there are more requests than there are praises. But if we spent more time dwelling on the things that God has done for us, I'm sure the praises would begin to outweigh the requests. Just naturally is that way. That's why we open it up. Not every service is an opportunity to talk about those things, just for time and the order of the service and how things go. But I'm sure if you look in your life, you can see where God has blessed you. You can see it. Hortense reminds us of it all the time. She's our Epaphras. I'm just kidding. She's our Hortense. No one else can have her. But it's important to remember God's many wonderful blessings for us, is it not? It was an encouragement here to the writers of this book of Colossians. Now let's get into the meat of it. Verse 9. For this cause also, for what cause? The news that they had heard, the truth of the gospel, the fact that they are their faithful brethren. For this cause also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you. You see that back there in verse 3? Praying always for you. Prayer is so important, even for a baby believer, even for someone who's brand new into God's family. Pray for missionaries. Pray for evangelists. Pray for Sunday school teachers, for people who open and close buildings, for pastors, for husbands who teach their children, for wives that are teaching their children. Some crazy headlines I've read today. Some crazy headlines. I'm thankful for parents that are able to teach their kids the truth. And we ought to fight for that ability to do so. Because, friend, it's coming where it's going to be taken away. We've got to pray to the Lord to encourage those men and women who are in service. And I'm not just saying pastors and teachers. Laymen, too. People like you and like me who are just trying to do right by God's word. We should pray for them. And, as it says here in verse 9, to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will. I mentioned how in our youth group, the question was asked, why doesn't modern day science agree with what the Bible says about Jesus holding all things together? And we broke down that word. That word science is not just a lab experiment and the scientific method and a hypothesis and all that. It means knowledge, the pursuit of that knowledge, science. So what it says here is that they would be filled with knowledge, and it qualifies the knowledge, his will, of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So as a young believer, you can pray that other believers would be driven to the word so they can have a knowledge of God's will. Verse 10, for what purpose? That ye might walk worthy. So can you walk unworthily? You sure can. And baby believer, this can happen to you. This can happen to you very easily. You've got to be careful and pray that you're able to walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. This is also interesting. That means there are works that you and I can commit. They're unfruitful. They don't bear fruit. They're for ourselves. They're wood, hay, and stubble. Well, how do I avoid that? Well, look back there in verse 9. Do not cease to pray and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. I know it's only a couple lines in your Bible, but that's a lifetime of knowledge that you can learn. It says all wisdom and spiritual understanding. We can always be growing in knowledge. Look what it says at the end of verse 10. And increasing in the knowledge of who? God. You know, this is what I notice quite often with young believers. They get plugged into prophecy. And I love that. Prophecy is very important. But prophecy should drive you to the logical conclusion that we do not have time. We do not have time left to dilly-dally and other things. We need to get people into the gospel. But you know what a lot of young baby believers get caught up in? All the prophecy. They just live there. They live there. And they get these crazy ideas. And they start to share these ideas with people. And the first thing they want to talk about is the prophetic side of things before they even get to the gospel. You've got to be careful. You want to make the gospel, you want to speak with clarity, simplicity of words. Is there a time for prophetic teaching? Yes, absolutely. But don't get caught up in things that will not amount to the ability to lead somebody to Christ.
Amen.
We've got to be careful. Look at verse 11. Strengthened with all might according to, what's it say? His glorious power unto all patience and long-suffering with, and look at the attitude we should possess, joyfulness, giving thanks. There's that again. We see that over there in verse 3. We give thanks to God. Giving thanks unto the Father, verse 12, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. This is some refresher here. This is nice. We have an inheritance. Look, my family is poor, okay? We're not rich by any definition, okay? We made it. Everything is great. My dad works hard. I know when my dad passes away, I'm not inheriting millions and millions of dollars unless he somehow has hit it rich on Bitcoin or something. I don't know. But he hasn't told me that. But you know what? It doesn't matter what my earthly father has. My heavenly father, he's got all things. Your heavenly father, he's got all things. And there's a nice word here. It should make you feel good. You've got, look at what it says. You're a partaker of the inheritance. That doesn't mean you're just sitting there in the bleachers watching everybody else get theirs. You will receive a part of that inheritance as a saint in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. You see how Paul is transitioning here away from the individual and back onto the only individual that matters, Christ? Who, that's talking about Christ, hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. This is a radical understanding, but the fact that you are alive right now, this is not the only place where you exist. What? Well, outside of time, because you have put your trust in Christ, because that blood atonement has been applied to the payment of your sin and it's been paid for, you're already there.
That's
a game changer. We're translated into the kingdom of his dear Son, but don't forget the last part of that verse. We're out of the power of darkness. The sad thing is, baby believers, they run back to what they know. They run back to that sin, to the power of darkness in their lives. It ought not be that way. You're freed from that. You're translated into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom, talking about Christ again, we have another great word, redemption. And notice how the redemption is attained through his blood. Even the forgiveness of sins. Friend, this is what it boils down to. Have you been forgiven of your sin? The sin has been paid. Have you been forgiven of it? When Peter says, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins, this is how we understand that word repent to be metanoia, a change of mind. The moment you change your mind from what you were trusting in to get to heaven and you believe on Christ, the forgiveness of sins, the redemption is applied to you as an individual. You're translated into the kingdom of his dear Son, Jesus Christ. You're taken out from the power of darkness, and now you have an opportunity to learn how to walk worthily, to learn how to expand in knowledge in all wisdom and spiritual truth. You can attain those things. And all you had to do is believe on Christ. Isn't that great? It's almost too good to be true. But it is true. Continue here, verse 15. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him, Jesus, were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. Is there anything that is greater than Christ? No. So for the person who asks, well, what do I do now? Recognize how much power you have in just your position in Christ. Jesus doesn't answer to anybody. God doesn't answer to anybody. The Holy Spirit answers to no one. 17, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist, and he is the head of the body. Listen, me as your pastor, I'm just your under-shepherd. I'm just supposed to help you out here. He's the master shepherd. He's the one that leads, guides, and directs. He's the head of this body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have, beautiful word here, preeminence. He has priority. He is first. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And that's where we're going to stop. And it's a great place to start. Because there is a wealth of knowledge that is available there. But if there are just four subpoints I can leave you with as a young believer, as you learn and continue to grow, learn how to pray. And I'm not talking about don't get a prayer language. That's a heresy. Your prayer language is whatever language you speak now. You don't need a different one that no one else understands. Learn how to pray. Learn how to study your Bible and study it. Learn how to be faithful in church attendance, faithful among like-minded believers, and then learn how to soul win. Boy, those four areas right there, you're setting up great, great supports on the foundation of Christ to be used in a great and mighty way.
Amen.
That's what we can do now. Look up here as we close tonight. I want to share the gospel with you. And remember that word hope. Remember that you saw it in here. The hope that is laid up. It's not, I hope, I hope, I hope. It's a joyful anticipation. It's an expectation. I know. I know. This hand represents you and me. My wallet will represent sin, and this hand will represent Jesus Christ, who was perfect and had no sin. He was God's only begotten Son. John 3:16 can be illustrated like this. For God so loved the world, that's you and me, that he gave his only begotten Son, that's Jesus Christ, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the gospel message. You have sin. The payment of sin is death, eternal separation from God forever in a place called hell. You have to be perfect to get to heaven. And there's no amount of good works that you could ever do to pay for your own sin to the point where you would be perfect. I mean, it's not possible. That's why Jesus took your place. He paid for all those sins. He literally became sin for us. The last thing he cried out before he died on that cross was, "It is finished." He was buried and he rose again 3 days later with no sin. He had paid for it all.
Amen.
So if you simply believe on Christ, on his death, burial, and resurrection, you're given the remission of sins. Your sins are forgiven. You get the righteousness of God. You become a partaker of his inheritance. You're taken away from the power of darkness. You're translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. You're passed from death unto life. You'll never be brought into condemnation again. We could start part two. And that's just the beginning. It's the greatest, greatest news in all the world. And you can receive it today, right where you're sitting. You can simply believe.
Amen.
Believe on the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and you receive that free gift of everlasting life. That's good, isn't it?
Thank you for listening to today's episode. As a thank you to our listeners, we want to give away a free Bible every month this year. To enter, send us an email with your Bible question. Our email address is questions@BibleLineMinistries.org. Be sure to subscribe to the show and check back each Thursday for new episodes. Until next time, keep looking up. Jesus is coming soon.